The sermon this evening comes from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, as we're continuing our series on anxiety. More specifically, the series Do Not Be Anxious. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. There ends the reading of God's words. We look at this passage, and how can we imagine that we can constantly be joyful? That we can constantly be rejoicing? How can we imagine that we would be free from anxiety? I was recently watching a man working with young children, and as he was working with these preteens and early teens, he's working with them, and he had this smile on his face while he's working. And I don't know if you've ever heard about someone saying, I don't walk around all day smiling like an idiot, or something like that. The idea that somebody that's happy all the time, there's clearly something wrong with them. They are not attached to reality somehow. They're just removed from the pains of life and the reality of life. Well, as I watched this man, I started pondering that and thinking that about him. Is he one of these people? I thought. But then I remembered that this guy, he has a degenerative bone disease. And he has been in pain consistently for multiple years, many years, more than 4 years. He's in pain right now, and he will be in pain for the rest of his life. And I looked at him and I thought, I'm not as happy as he is right now. We look at our lives and we see the pains and we see the tragedies and we see the sorrows. We allow sorrows to overcome us. We look at these words, and these words were given by Christ. It's not as if Christ was at all removed from reality. That he didn't know what pain was or suffering was or what pain or suffering would be. Christ, when these words were given, he had already been flogged. He had already been crucified. He had already been murdered for our sins. Paul pens these words. Paul knew what it was to be naked and shipwrecked and robbed and beaten and turned over to beasts. I haven't been there. I haven't known that degree of sorrow and pain and misery and torture and abandonment that Paul has known. In fact, I think alongside you, I cannot think of a time in my life when there was actually no one there that cared. There have always either been parents or friends or brothers and sisters in Christ. But Christ knew what it was to be completely abandoned, completely undone, with no one to pursue him. Paul himself found himself alone. And yet we look here, and Paul calls out to you, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing. Now, we face tragedies in this world, and there's no secret to that. We turn to our first parents in Genesis, and we see them go through their tragedies. We see them put out of the Garden of Eden. We see the circumstances of their own lives as one son murdered another son. And the stories go on and on and on of the pain and the miseries of all of the people that we would call our fathers in Scripture. We don't choose the tragedies of our life. But here we see the reality and the truth that you do choose how to respond to the tragedies of your life. That you give yourself to misery. You give yourself to sorrow. You lay down in the valley of the shadow of death. Or you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You march on, looking to Christ Jesus. You press on to the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. So the call tonight is to replace your anxiety with prayer and thanksgiving in the midst of your pains. Our first step is to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. That's Philippians 4:4. And we looked at the idea last week of where our focus is. Is our focus on the pain that we're experiencing, on the misery that we're experiencing, or is our focus on the eternal? You see, there are things that we face, and there are pains that we face, there are sorrows that we face. But the Scripture, and even Paul, calls these things light and momentary troubles. And he explains that the glory of God and the eternal reality will far outweigh everything that anyone has ever faced. How can that be? When we think of the pains and the sorrows that we will each face, the death that we will know, the abandonment that we will know, the betrayals that we will know. Yet in Christ Jesus, those realities will seem light and momentary. And that's because eternity is reality. It's what won't be undone. It's what will not be changed. It's what will be. It is certainty. It is that rock that we long for. And so we set our minds on that truth. We set our minds on Christ, the Christ who is, the Christ who has loved perfectly. And even now, the Christ who is loving perfectly. You see, for Him to love you absolutely, and Him to be completely sovereign, that means the pains in your life are examples of His love. That He's giving you specifically what you need to make you more like Christ Jesus. He's giving you exactly what has to happen to knock off those rough edges, to put you in the posture before Him. That is the posture of praise and the posture of worship. Now you and I wouldn't choose these circumstances for one another. And we grieve with one another. But in faith, we know and we trust that God is good and He is all powerful. Now our next move, in the midst of our circumstances, in the midst of our pain, let your fairness be known to all. The Lord is near. In verse 5 it says, it's rendered, let your gentle spirit be known to all. The Lord is near. That word, it brings the idea of equitable or fair and just or even the idea of a forbearance in you, that you will not be undone through your pain. See, my kids know if things are tense in the house, if I'm working on the bathroom and it's not going well, and I'm moving into week two of a project that was supposed to take 2 hours, and I hit myself with a hammer, now's not a good time to come in running and dancing and screaming or whatever. There's a tension that comes in the house, and there's a likelihood that I will not behave in a fair or equitable way. But here, in the Scriptures, it says, when these things are on you, when these burdens are on you, let your gentleness or your fairness or your appropriate response be there, so that people will see and know that the Lord is near. You see, there's a particular behavior when there's an authority figure near, isn't there? I remember when I was in grade school and the teacher would leave the classroom. And where we were, there were these windows that were way up high. Well, they might not be as high as I remember since I was a little guy. But there were these windows that were up high that you would have to go and climb onto a cabinet and climb up onto another cabinet. And then you would be up 6 feet in the air and a lookout could go. And they could watch. And they could see if the teacher was coming. And we could do whatever we wanted. Until someone said, the teacher's coming. And the person would jump down and everybody would get in their seats and we would look like the most perfect and beautiful class when the teacher walked in. When the authority's near, it's a different behavior. There's a different response. And the expectation here is that as we realize through our pains and through our trials, the Lord is near, we will be behaving a certain way, and people will see. People will see the reality of the presence of God in our lives, but also in His presence everywhere. We behave this way, and we respond with equity. We respond justly. We respond with a fairness. We respond with a gentleness. Even in the midst of our pains. And another part of this idea of Him being near is we're not lost. We're not undone. He's close. Our rescue is always close. There have been different times when I've worked out with my kids and we found this fallen tree down in the woods. And it was only about this high off the ground and I could put a child on there, and they could walk along the beam. And then when we would first do it, I would hold their hand, and we would go back and forth and work it up, and then we would get to the point where I could let go and they could walk. But they were only confident to do it when I was near. He's near. He's near. Through what you're facing, He's not a God who's far away. But He's near. And our behavior, our attitude, must reflect that reality. The Lord is near. He's closer than your very breath. You are not undone. And that is our third move there. Live the truth. The Lord is at hand. And that's verse 5. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. And what does that mean for us? Well, when we think about His character, as we reflected on it last week, that He's great. He's awesome. He's amazing. He's even at times terrifying because He's so powerful and amazing. But also, there is that comfort in Him. As we know He is for us. As we are in Christ Jesus. So we can walk through the fire. We can walk through the trials. We can even walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Because He is with us. in the midst of our trials. So our next move, our fourth move, is to fear nothing but the Lord. Verses 5 and 6. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing. Matthew 10:28. Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul. But rather, fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now, how much of our fear in our lives is based on people? Flows from fear of man. Some of us, it's what man will do directly to us. For some of us, our fear towards men is what they will do to our loved ones, or what their effect, their behavior will have on our loved ones. But here we see that there is no room for that. That God overshines the circumstances of life. God oversees and overshines the behavior of men. And as we already discussed, He uses that behavior to accomplish His purposes. And when we respond then with thanksgiving, when we respond in faith, when we remember that the Lord is near through these things and that He is actively working in our lives, does it take away all the pain? No. But He's near. He has His hand on the circumstances. Even though sinful and foolish men follow their own hearts, God has ordained the circumstances. And He uses those circumstances. Now, we dealt with the idea of much of our anxiety flowing from our own sin towards God. Even our anxiety can be sin against God where we're not trusting Him. For that, we must repent. We dealt with the idea much of our anxiety can be sin against one another. For that, we must repent. But that's not what saves us, is it? It isn't what saves us. When I've worked with so many people and I've sat and we've worked through the gospel and I've worked with people here in the community and we sat down and they thought they wanted to be members of the church and we worked through all the elements of church membership. And at the end of it, after meeting for weeks, I've asked people, what does it mean then to be a Christian? And they say, well, you can't cuss and you can't drink. And I stopped myself from banging their head off the table at that moment. More than once. Multiple times. People imagine that being a Christian is being good. You in your rescue. You in your salvation. You and being held close by God are held close because of the person and the work of Christ. Because He has given you a heart to call on Him. And He has promised all those who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So in that reality and in that truth we find peace. In that reality and in that truth, you are children of the Most High. And you will not be undone. So that fear of the Lord transitions into love. Into a loving obedience. And into a faith and trust. Now, he tells us specifically here in verse 6, the answer for our anxieties. Be anxious for nothing, but, and the switch here then is, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It amazes me that it's right here, and your pastor still forgets it. It's right here. And in these past weeks, even as I'm preaching on anxiety, I'm walking down the streets in downtown Beaver Falls, and I'm anxious. More anxious possibly than any other point in my life. And I'm thinking, what is this? What am I to do? And then I finally get to the hot dog shop, and I sit down in the hot dog shop, and I'm like, okay, now what does my text say for my sermon? But be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And I stop and think, oh, that's why I'm anxious. I haven't done that. I haven't really turned to Him. I haven't really given these circumstances into His hands. I haven't yet thanked Him for these things that I am facing. So no wonder the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, isn't guarding my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. But here it is. Replace your anxiety with prayer. And so, in the circumstances that we're facing, we ask Him to deal with it. We ask Him to fix it, and we do so with thanksgiving. Thanking Him for His means, the things that He uses to work out our sanctification in our life. Because it's exactly what we need. We wouldn't choose it. We wouldn't think that's what we need. But it is. If there was an easier way to get our attention, He'd do it. He demonstrated that for us, didn't He, in the Garden of Eden. He said, here you go. Have a perfect world. No thorns, no thistles, no weeds. Cultivate this garden with no problems whatsoever and have a perfect spouse and make babies. And that wasn't good enough for us. We didn't want easy. Light and easy and beautiful. No. We said no. But how has He worked? What does He do? He gives us brick walls for us to bang our heads off of. He gives us the pain and the sorrow that's necessary to turn us to Him, to be sanctified. So the implication is, if we're being anxious, if we're not praying, if we're not giving thanks, if we're not speaking to Him, what does that say about our relationship with Him? We see ourselves as unthankful, ungrateful, is what that would translate into. People ignoring Him and not speaking to Him. What would you expect from a people who are ungrateful and not speaking to God? I'd expect them to be anxious. And that's where we find ourselves when we are not replacing our anxiety with prayer. So our sixth move is to pursue true peace. So these steps to bring everything to Him in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, asking Him for what we need, is seeking peace. the answer there in verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your heart. I need that. And so do you. It will guard your mind. I need that. And so do you. In Christ Jesus. You want a place where the guard is strong? You want a fortress for your heart that cannot be breached? You want your mind washed in a good way? In Christ Jesus is that. When we come with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. And this is that peace, as we've talked about before, that you can't get your head around. It's beyond comprehension. That peace in Christ Jesus. A full peace. And the idea there, again, is that your heart and your soul, your mind, your whole inner man, all that you are guarded on the eternal level. And that's exciting. That's wonderful. The place where no one can touch it. A peace that no one can undo. A peace beyond anxiety. Beyond fear, forever. So you, all of you, who find yourselves anxious, pray. Pray, go to Him with thanksgiving. Make your requests known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Pray with me. Oh God, you are so good. You are beautiful. You are perfect. You are amazing. You are completely good. You are completely just. You are so loving and charitable. You are strong and mighty to guard what we have entrusted to you. And Father, each of us now, thank you for our pain. Thank you for our trials. God, and please receive our prayers of supplication and thanksgiving now. God, and give us that peace. Guard our hearts, guard our minds in Christ Jesus. It is in His name that we pray. Amen.